Welcome to the Weekly Digest, a podcast by News 24, South Africa's most trusted news brand. Every Friday, we invite you into our studio to listen to conversations about some of the week's top stories. Mihlali Ntsabo is our host.
In today's episode, we discuss government's new proposed plan to audit the number of foreign-owned spaza shops in communities. The Proteas suffered a painful loss against India on Sunday. With two losses, does this mean their prospects of winning the Cricket World Cup are slim? And News 24 Live gives us a preview of what to expect in the world of entertainment this weekend. Government is now looking into auditing the number of foreign-owned spaza shops in several areas across the country. According to Minister in the Presidency, Khumbudzo Ntshavheni, Cabinet said it was concerned about the rise in the number of reports of children being poisoned after consuming allegedly contaminated food from spaza shops and some even dying. However, there is no scientific evidence or research report that links the illness or death of these children in recent weeks to food from spaza shops. Government says it wants to introduce omnibus bylaws that will give local municipalities and traditional leaders the power to ensure that shop owners and communities abide by the business bylaws. Zinhle Mahlathi, senior politics reporter at News 24, joins us in studio to explain how government plans to implement its plan, which has been met with resistance by some advocacy groups. Zinhle, government wants to audit the number of foreign-owned spaza shops in communities. And of course, this would be in light of the recent number of reports we've seen of children being poisoned, allegedly. How are they planning on doing this?
There is no proof that there is a link between the deaths and food poisoning. The link has not been found yet. But the government is acting under pressure from the public that something has to be done. The government plans to amend bylaws, right? We already have bylaws which stipulate how businesses are supposed to be operating in the country. Now, these additional bylaws will sort of strengthen the rights that traditional leaders have within communities to keep check of how many foreign-owned tuck shops are operating within communities, whether it's in a township or a village. It will also allow them to give a record of foreigners that are residing within communities in the country. Yes.
And also part of this plan, according to Minister Ntshavheni, is to bring in health inspectors from various departments to assess these spaza shops.
So what the government is doing is not new. The health department, the labor department has inspectors, the home office department has inspectors. So the idea is to beef up the visibility of these people. So it's accelerating what a system that's already been there. This time it will be business development, home affairs, labor, going into these communities and inspecting these spaza shops for any type of irregularities that they might be able to find.
You spoke to Lawyers for Human Rights who actually expressed a number of concerns about this planned move by government.
Oh, they've been expressing concerns for a long time about comments that have been made by the government. So it's an invasion of the privacy that foreigners who may be legally in the country are being subjected to, according to the Lawyers for Human Rights that I spoke to. People are allowed to live in South Africa legally. You're assuming a lot when you go into these shops and inspecting every shops. You're invading people's lives. Why don't you make the system work better? Why don't you fix home affairs? Why don't you fix the labor department?
Sure. Right.
The Lawyers for Human Rights, another point they made was that a lot of South Africans benefit from these businesses that are operating. The people who rent out their spaces to the foreign-owned nationals, the financial benefits of money exchanging within communities is quite important. And if the government was doing enough to provide employment, to provide assistance to families that were struggling, we wouldn't be here instead of quickly blaming foreigners who might be eking out a living in South Africa along with other South Africans.
And of course, you spoke to some migrants who own some of these shops.
Yes,
and
yes,
how have they reacted to this news?
Yes, I spoke to one migrant. His name is Alex from Ethiopia. He's been in South Africa, I think I said, for like six to eight years. We spoke and he told me that, firstly, he does not sell expired goods. He makes sure that his goods are well maintained and in good condition. He said he respects the community he works in and the community does the same to him. He did say that he would be worried about the idea of more control from government and police regarding how foreign-owned businesses are operating. He says because for him, he doesn't know why he has to be subjected to increased policing when he knows he has a permit to operate, when he knows he doesn't sell expired goods. Another aspect that I added in my story, which is very important, Mihlali, sorry, before we end, is that this story is part of a broader picture. We're heading into elections next year, and there's been an increased talk from the ANC and other political parties, such as the Patriotic Alliance, regarding the presence of foreign nationals within South Africa. So when we hear such stories, the government speaking this way, the increase in this concentration of, oh, we need to do more to do this, to who is employed within our businesses and our provinces, are they foreigners or not? We should clamp down on the number of people who are employed so South Africans can be employed. That type of talk should be also put in the context of an electioneering year. It's very dangerous. It has the ability to cause more divisions within our communities.
Zinhle Mahlathi, senior reporter at News 24. In India, the Proteas are still in the running to win the Cricket World Cup despite their 243-run defeat against India on Sunday. News 24 senior sports reporter Heinz Schenk joins us from India for an update on the Proteas' progress at the 2023 Cricket World Cup. Heinz, the Proteas lost against India on Sunday by 243 runs, which was their second defeat in the tournament. How are they feeling at this point?
Yeah, that's a pretty interesting question because the more one actually thinks about it, there's a sense that this was more an aberration, you know, than anything else. That it was just against a team that is really, really rampant. And also, I mean, you saw it a bit with a guy like Marcus Jansen. It's the first time he's been thrown into a cauldron like Eden Gardens and where he had to perform and actually keep his composure. For a young guy, that's very intimidating in front of 58,000 vociferous Indian fans. And I just think it sort of like spiraled from there. They came back quite well with the ball later on. But I think, like they acknowledged afterwards, 320 on that surface just simply was too much. And I think it put pressure on the batting team. And yeah, just given the form that the Indian bowling attack has been in, remember they've shot out Sri Lanka the previous game for 55.
Right.
That 83 was probably embarrassing, but I think there's been a lot of healthy perspective on it, that this was perhaps a learning curve. And also the fact that perhaps South Africa aren't yet the finished product. Perhaps it really was a case of boys versus men, and hopefully they absorbed the lesson. So to answer your question, I think probably, to be honest with you, I don't think there's too much of a morale problem, you know, after that defeat.
Mm-hmm. Heinz, we obviously are trying to keep up with the spirit of winning and bringing home, you know, the World Cup at the back of the Springboks having clinched the Rugby World Cup title. And I think the question that everyone is trying to figure out is, does this loss in any way jeopardize the Proteas' prospects of winning the Cricket World Cup title?
Again, that's also an interesting question, because as much as you want to say you want to take that, you know, that defeat in Kolkata into perspective, you're very much right in saying that, does that defeat also suggest that we simply don't have the ammunition to compete with India, which I think is a very, very valid question. But I suppose also you can also take it from the other side and sort of like argue that when you lose by 243 runs, it means you've malfunctioned all across the board. So, and just given the fact that South Africa have actually won six games in this tournament already, and the fact that they've done it by comprehensive margins in quite a few instances, sort of like actually attests to the potency and the potential that in this team. In the end, it all boils down to psychology. Either getting spooked and saying, oh, geez, the Indians actually gave us a fright now and perhaps showed us the gulf in class between the two teams. Or they can actually go in and say, listen, let's forget about this. Let's focus on what we have done in this tournament and where we have performed brilliantly, to be honest, against time. One thinks about a 229-run win over defending champions England as an example of their potential. So I suppose in the end, it's about maintaining perspective again, and it will probably boil down to the attitude and the outlook that they adopt going further into this tournament.
So essentially what I'm getting from what you're saying is that we still do stand a chance of winning the World Cup, but it's going to be a very challenging task.
100%, Mishali. I think it's not only about psychology now, which I think is obviously the main point, but there's also a bit of unanswered questions, because what that defeat against India also exposed, you know, is that the South Africans still seem to be quite uncomfortable batting second, because much of their success has been based on a very finely tuned and I always want to say consistent blueprint of batting first, getting the runs on the board and putting scoreboard pressure on opposition under lights. But when obviously something like the toss is not something you can control. So I suppose the thing is, yes, that South Africa, if they are going to win this World Cup, you feel they probably either have to have the luck of winning the toss and batting first to sort of like keep going what's been working with them, or they'll have to find a way to adapt and find a clear way of approaching totals that they are chasing. And I suppose, yeah, to be honest, that is basically what it boils down to.
Right, so the Proteas are playing against Afghanistan today. Perhaps maybe take us through what their prospects are looking like and also what is at stake for both teams.
Interestingly enough, Charlie, there's much more at stake for the cheery Afghanistanis who have actually surprised all and sundry at this tournament. I mean, they are actually still in contention of reaching the semifinals, but they probably have a couple of results that have to go their way. And specifically, the first thing they need to get in order is actually try and beat the Proteas. So, yeah, there's actually far more, I almost want to say, emotionally invested in this game in terms of the Afghans than the would-be South Africa, because South Africa have already qualified for the semifinals. In fact, they actually even qualified before they played against India last week. So what's interesting from a South African perspective here, Mshali, is that I probably believe that while there's nothing at stake, there's very much a risk of losing momentum if you come unstuck against these Afghanistanis, because the last thing you actually really need now is to lose another game against opponents that you are probably expected to beat anyway, and then go into a semi-final on the back of two losses and try to beat an Australian side that is peaking, I believe, at the right time.
Right.
It's almost like Keshav Maharaj said after Kolkata, it's very easy to lose momentum and it's really, really hard to build it up again. So even though materially there's nothing at stake for the South Africans, they have a confirmed semi-final against the Australians next week on Thursday. I suppose it's all about now just gaining that vital momentum and taking that into that knockout game.
Heinz Schenk, senior sports reporter at News 24. And News 24 Deputy Lifestyle Editor Kawunda Selisho gives us a preview of what to expect on this weekend's edition of News 24 Life's Hello Weekend magazine. Okay, welcome back to the Weekly Digest.
Thank you for having me.
Maybe let's start off with what's been happening this week in the world of entertainment.
Well, starting in the world of entertainment, the biggest thing I think for us that we were watching the last time we spoke was the South African Music Awards. It's supposed to be the 17th annual this year.
Of course.
And you will recall that the president suggested to the KZN Premier to not host the event, and he listened and he acquiesced, and they pulled out of hosting it. So that put the event put it in the air in terms of them not having a venue. But then we recently found out that they will be forging on with a venue, which is a favorite. Recently, we had the Boys to Men concert there. Earlier this year, we had Tamia. We had the Miss South Africa pageant. And now we will be having the 17th annual SAMAs at the Super Bowl version at the SunBet Arena in Times Square. I actually wanted to call it the Sun City Super Bowl, and I had to pause there for a second.
And then one would also assume that they happen to get sponsorship, because that is also another big contention around the Psalmist.
So they insist in a statement that we actually received directly from them that they've had sponsors all along. What they wanted was a venue and a place to bring that economic opportunity to. And they were hoping that KZN would be that, because around the Psalmist, it's not just the event, it's people needing accommodation, it's people needing outfits, it's people needing to eat and drink while they're there. So they were hoping to bring tourism rand to the area, and that's in part with the partnership. And I guess also from the municipality side, the municipality would have helped them with the overhead cost of a venue, which is now going to be in Pretoria, and that's where their relationship gets a little bit murky.
And of course, in News 24 Live's weekend tradition, Hello Weekend drops this Saturday. What can our audience expect?
Okay, well, from motoring, you can expect a review of the Ford Ranger XLT Bucky. Please don't ask me to explain what that means to you. Just read Hello
Weekend.
I also
know nothing about cars, so.
So you can find out what that means, why we're reviewing it, and what makes it great. I've driven a Ford Ranger before. Very fantastic, comfortable car, good drive for long distances. So looking forward to reading that review. We also have a review of a Constantia hotel from our travel section, as well as a chat with Nomuzi Muzli Mabena, the celebrity who's had quite a longevity in her career. She's got a new collaboration coming out, a fashion collaboration. And then lastly from us, we're not going to tell you what our cover is, because we like to keep you guys interested in coming back for more. But those are the content, that is the content that we have coming, as well as a look at the latest adaptation of a Dion Meyer book. You will know he's a South African novelist who writes primarily in Afrikaans, but he's a bestseller. People love him. His stories are always thrilling and compelling, and they do well in terms of TV adaptation. So we're looking forward to seeing which book is getting adapted, who's going to be starring. And I am at liberty to say it's South African actor Arnold Vosloo. So it's going to be on CakeNet, and we're going to be explaining to people what to expect with that series.
Right. And before I let you go, I always enjoy when News 24 Live gives us teasers as to who is on the front cover. Can we at least get a teaser or two?
We are considering an entertainment figure, so a media personality. We're considering the host of a new Nat Geo show.
Nice.
And we are also considering a designer, because as you will know, the Africa Fashion International Fashion Week is currently happening, and there's some events around that, and we have some feelers on the ground. So those are the three covers that we're considering that you guys can expect to see when Hello Weekend goes live this weekend.
Kawunda Selisho, Deputy Lifestyle Editor at News 24 Live. Other stories you can find on news24.com include: woman gunned down outside Randburg Court was due to testify against cops accused of torture. And blue light attack: state is ready to prosecute Mashatile's protectors for assault. That's all we have for now. Do join us next Friday for the next installment of the Weekly Digest.